wanted to welcome you guys this morning to our first Sunday of this. And we're doing this all throughout August, this prayer series. And we're just calling it Pray. And it's just this chance to go back and look at something, to look at something that's so vital to the life of our church, but maybe gets glossed over sometimes. To go back to a basic that maybe even those who feel like they're in the deep end of the pool just skipped over or left behind. Because there are a couple of times in a church's life during the year, aside from Easter and Mother's Day, there are a couple of times during a year where people start to kind of get stuff back in order and they come back to church. Or they've been on vacation or done whatever, or they start to make renewals in January and they come back to church. And it happens in January after the new year, and then it also happens in August. And so a lot of churches, they'll say that they try to do strategic things, or they try to have different events, or they try to do big things to try to capitalize on that or think strategically. But let me share what our heart is instead. And that is, we're going to shut down around here and we're going to pray. Because we believe that everything that we do around here needs to be built on prayer. And this is something that I'm learning in my own life. This is something that I'm starting to prioritize more and more, especially as my family grows and as we get a little bit older as a family. And this is something that is so important to who we are. We can't forget about it. We can't start to do things, or we can't have events, or we can't start to try to start things and exciting whatever if we don't build it on prayer. If we don't come back to the basics of it. And so that's what I just want to give you, kind of our heart for it. And if you've been watching our progression of series during the summer, if you've been kind of seeing the topics that we've covered, you've noticed we started with Jesus, and then we moved into Built to Last series about our families and our relationships. And woven throughout every sermon and every series, every topic, has been this idea of prayer, this theme of prayer. Because you don't build a family to last unless prayer is at the heart of it. You don't build relationships with others unless prayer is behind everything that you do. You don't have a church unless prayer is at the core. Because otherwise, we're just a bunch of people sitting in a building talking to each other. But when we connect with the living God, when we pray as a church, there is power there. There is something different about our DNA as a church. And so we're going to work that into us. That's what we want to be. We want to be a people of prayer. There's nothing that we can do as a church that would be better for our life as a church than to be people of prayer. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you on prayer. And like I said, I'm striving for this in my own life. Everything that I preached to you this morning, I have preached to myself, okay? Everything that I say this morning, I have said 10 times over to myself in my own heart. Because I want to be a person of prayer. I know you want to be a person of prayer. We want to be a church that prays. And like I said, I'm striving for it more. And you guys have seen us kind of change some stuff up here at the church. We restarted our prayer nights on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, just praying. And on Sunday mornings, you've seen the cards that you guys fill out. And those have just been growing. And I'm not excited that the prayer requests are growing. I'm excited that we're praying more. And so it's just that I'm excited we're praying for each other. We're gathering together because those problems were there before. It's not like we suddenly started praying and those problems just had. It's just we weren't praying as much for them. And so I'm so excited for us as a church to start to pray for each other. And we take those cards and the prayer team prays over them Wednesday nights. We cover those in prayer throughout the week. And then we bring them again. And even in the sanctuary, some weekends, people are in here praying over the chairs and they're praying for you. And you know what that's about, where you are, because you're going through it, right? They're just touching each chair and just praying for the person that comes to this chair. Just praying for that person who comes. And we're covering you in prayer, but we've got to get it into us individually. We've got to get it into us as well. We're trying everything we can to cover you in prayer, but you got to get it in yourself. You got to get it into individuals. So as we lead our church into this next season of prayer in these 3 weeks, 6 at night, then 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., as we go into these 3 weeks of prayer, and we do it twice a year, all right? We do it in January also, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Lord, help us, right? Just Lord, be good to us. We fast then, and then in the fall with 21 days of prayer and feasting. Amen, right? You with me there, all right? Amen. So like, you can fast, but I'm going to be eating, okay? You do what you want to do. But in August, I'm going to be eating. But it's just an awesome time of prayer. And I think part of that, of being successful at that, of having 21 days that actually changes us, is that you know how to pray. And a lot of us think we know how to pray. We try to know how. We're almost positive we know how or not to pray. But really, for most of us, it's a struggle. And so here's what we've started to do. And that, you might remember this from our Begin series in January, is we started to have kind of rally cries that we come around. And we did this in January for the 21 days. And we're going to do it again in August. And just kind of rally cries that we've been working into our sermons and into our lifeblood as a church. And the first one of those is just this. It's simple. Two words. Just pray first. pray first. And that means that in any situation, wherever I am, I'm going to pray first. That's what we're going to rally around. It doesn't have to be, so what would it look like if you woke up in the morning? And it doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours. If you just woke up in the morning, just, God, I thank you for another morning that I get to spend with you. Bless this day. And you just went on. Well, what would it look like is if before you ate, a lot of us do this, you just, God, we bless this meal. We thank you for being with us. And you just eat. Or what would it be like before you make that phone call, or before you go out to do this, or you just pray first. Or before you go to sleep at night, you pray first. When you wake up, you pray first. What would it look like if before your next appointment, your secretary says, Mr. So-and-so's here, should I show him in? No, wait. And you just bowed your head, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bless this appointment. Just be with it, Lord, be with me, anoint my words, and help me make a load of money. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, send him in. What would that look like? You probably make a load of money, all right? If you just pray first, and before your kids take off for school this week, or next week, whenever it starts, and you just right before they go, I know it's pandemonium, I know it's whatever, just come here, right here. Jesus, I pray over them, you make them a leader, not a follower, in Jesus' name, okay, run. What would that look like in your life? How would that change things in your life if we pray first? And so we put an order in for a bunch of these bracelets. We did this a few years ago. And so these, we're going to be giving these out the next week or so to you guys at the prayer nights and prayer mornings. And it just says, the little bracelet just says, pray first. It's just a reminder. Just a reminder to pray first. To pray first. Daily. In everything that I do, I'm going to pray first. All right, so work with me here a little bit, right? Before you take the phone call, you're going to... All right, some of you a little slow. Two words here, all right? Before you take it, you're going to pray. Before you send that email, you're going to pray first. Some of you need to pray first before you send that email, amen? I'm just going to pray over those right now. Before you send that tweet, you need to pray first, right? Before you send out that they bring God into every situation. And here's our theme verse for it, for the sermon series. This one's out of 1 Thessalonians 5. Because today I'm going to teach you prayer. All right. And it might be a little basic for some of you, but honestly, like I said, I preached it to myself and I was finding things that just spoke to me about prayer. And I want to teach you prayer. And then next Sunday, I'm going to show you how you can move it into your life. I'm going to show you how you can build it. All right. So you kind of see the flow going there. But 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray continually. And actually, this is verse 16 and this is verse 17. So if you like to memorize verses, start with the two word ones, okay? Rejoice always, that's verse 16. Pray continually, that is verse 17. Pray continually, pray always. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Does that mean I hit my knees in the morning, I never get back up, I just pray? No, it means that in every situation, I'm going to bathe it in prayer. In everything that I do, I'm going to bathe it in prayer. And it's so simple. I know some of you have heard it before, but we've stopped doing it. In everything I do, I'm going to bathe it in prayer. And so let's learn how to pray this morning. All right. Before, again, it's so simple, but we pass over it. So before you have those appointments, before you have those things that you're going to, I'm going to pray first. I'm going to pray continually, which means I'm going to bring prayer into everything. And so I know there are things we have to do. We need to do things. We need to act, but we're going to pray first. We need to go about our lives, but we're going to pray first. And so you say, well, I'm going to go to that ball game, or I'm going to go to that appointment, or I'm going to go to school, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to do these things, but I'm going to pray first. I'm going to pray God's will continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you say, well, what is God's will for me? Pray first. How do I know what God wants to do in my life? Pray first. Excuse me. That's God's will for your life. And I want you to be in on this. If you've joined our church in the past couple of years, or maybe you've been through a couple of these prayer nights, I want you to be in on this prayer rally cry to pray first. And then that works itself into a phrase that we like to say. We said in the Begin series, and that is that prayer becomes our first response, not our last resort. That prayer becomes our first response to everything. That we go into a situation that has us down. We go into something that seems too big for us. Prayer becomes our first response. Yeah, I'm going to act, but I'm going to pray first. Yeah, I'm going to respond to this, but I'm going to pray first. I'm going to bring God into every single part of my life. I'm going to pray first. First response, not our last resort. And a lot of us, I'm included in that, all right? We act first, right? A lot of us, we act first and then we ask God to bail us out. A lot of us, we go into things just head of steam and we do it, and then something doesn't work, doesn't do whatever, and then we remember, oh, I should have prayed. I think I'll pray now. We ask, we get into things, we get ourselves stuck, and then we get God to bail us out. No, God is saying pray first. It's going to be our first response, not our last resort. And all right, let me get just kind of serious with you here at the beginning. And I'm not a serious person. I think church should be full of laughter and food. Okay. That's my motto for, and lots of God and coffee. That's my motto. But let me just kind of serious with you, because every so often I kind of just want to look you in the eye and let you know what's happening. I want to let you kind of know, and you probably have sensed this. You probably know, but that is that our society, our world is in peril. Again, if you see anything, you've seen that. And the moral decline it's mind-boggling, okay? That just the way that we have treated God's word and the way we have treated God himself, just mocking God. It's not like it's going like this. It's like this. It's happening. So what do we do then as people of righteousness? What do we do as trying to live righteous lives in this culture? What do we do then to respond to this, to act, to fix it? What do? We pray first. As people of God, we pray first. He says, pray continually. You'll see it in scripture. And again, this was in your reading. This has been a couple of weeks now in 2 Chronicles. And it says in 2 Chronicles 7, when I shut up the heavens, when the heavens are shut, so there's no rain, so you have a drought. And not just a rain drought, I'm talking about a moral drought this morning. When there is a moral drought, I command locusts to devour the land, or a plague among my people. And here's what it says. It says, if my people. And so it's almost like God is teasing you here, right? Like, if, I don't know if they will, but if they do, if my people who are called by my name will, and I don't know what you put in that blank. I don't know if you were to say this sentence and actually be truthful, what you put in that blank, or what it's to you. If our society's in decline and there's a moral drought, if the people of God would just. And I've had conversations with some of you, and again, I'm not trying to single anything. I'm just saying there are some in the church today who would fill this out. All this is happening, so if the people of God would just gather together and win an election. If the people of God would just gather together and do this. Or if the people of God would gather. No, what does it actually say, though? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We're going to pray first. So I don't know, again, I don't know what you would put in that blank, but God is telling us we're going to pray first. So I'm going to teach you how to pray this morning. Just a basic framework of how to pray. And then we're going to move into these 3 weeks as a church. These 21 days, we are going to pray and seek God's face. I can't explain to you how different you'll be, how amazing your family will become, how amazing your life will become if you seek God first. I'm going to show it to you in scripture, all right? So let's have a little fun. We'll do it. Chances are you're already thinking, when I started this, you're already thinking when you saw the series graphic up there that said pray, when we mentioned 21 days of prayer, you're already thinking, okay, I know I need to pray. It's the same as when we did with the Bible reading. I know I need to, but I just don't like it. Right? You can have that just in your head. You don't have to admit. We're not going to have a show of hands, all right, who likes or doesn't like to pray. But I know that feeling because I was there. All right? We'll have the confessions from the stage, all right? I grew up in church. I knew I was supposed to pray. I just didn't like to pray. All right? And the problem was, a lot of times, people were better than I was at praying. You think there wouldn't be a hierarchy of this, but you know, if you've heard some people who pray very well, you know there is a hierarchy where you just got your eyes closed. You're like, well, that sounds a lot better than what I just said, you know. Like, oh man, you know, I want to do it again. I want to do over. People were just better at it. Then in high school and college, my university had a seminary attached to it, and I never went there except to prank the seminary students, all right? I'll just throw that out there. We never stepped foot over there, but these guys could pray the King James Version with the these and the thous and the old Lord, And I felt like they just prayed better than I did. And I was in a small group, and this is in college. I was in a small group where the leader loved to do circle prayer. All right? You know what circle prayer is, right? You grab your hands all together. He's like, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to squeeze your hand, and then you're going to pray, and you're going to squeeze the next hand, and they're going to pray, right? And I hated circle prayer, okay? I am not a fan of circle, because you're always in the worst part of the circle, right? You're always like at the end, right? And everybody's praying. And you're not even listening to what they're saying. You're just trying to think, what am I going to pray? Oh, Lord, just give me something deep to say right now. Oh, Lord. And it's coming around, right? Just squeezing. And then right before it gets to you in the circle, that person right before you just starts praying everything that you were about to pray. they just start saying, and you're like, oh, I was going to say that. I was going to. And then, you know, you can't say what they said because then you're cheating, right? You know, everybody's going to know that you're just cheating, whatever. So you say, I hate circle prayer. All right. I'm just. And so then they're squeezing around. And I promise you, 9 times out of 10, I just squeeze. Just, I got nothing to say. Just pass that bad boy back around the circle. Okay. I got nothing. Just pass it all the way back around. But you're just thinking all these things. And if you're like me, you didn't like it, or you didn't know maybe how to do it well, or get the, what about the childhood prayer? And I've dogged on this a couple of times before. Now I lay me down to sleep. What morbid person wrote this prayer? I mean, have you read this prayer lately? Now I lay me down. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die. All right, little one, close your eyes. Good luck. You know, I hope you prayed a really good prayer at circle prayer, because, you know, close your eyes. As if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. All right, lights off, go to sleep. Yeah, even as an adult, I'm like, lights back on, right? I'm not. Have you heard these prayers? I don't know how I would. I think you have to pray it as a joke. Woo, you know, just. I can't. Who writes these things? But what is it about? You know, prayer, it just wasn't attractive to me, though. It just wasn't. It wasn't something I wanted. And if you're like me, you've come up with excuses. You have every excuse under the sun. And speaking of excuses, I heard a funny Boudreaux joke this week, and I haven't told you one in a while. So, you know, it only takes me a minute to do it. You want to hear it? A joke? No? All right, good. So Boudreaux's driving his car down the highway, and he's just swerving, going into town, going to Lafayette, and he's just swerving, and the policeman pulls out behind him, whoop, whoop, pulls him over. He said, Boudreaux, you're swerving all over the place. We're going to have to give you a breathalyzer. And Boudreaux said, no, I can't do that. He said, well, Boudreaux, why can't? He said, because I'm asthmatic, and I might die right here on the highway. He said, well, Boudreaux, we're going to have to give you a blood test then. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, well, why can't you do this? I'm a hemophiliac. I might just die right here on the highway. He said, well, Boudreaux, we're going to have to do a urine test. He said, oh, no, I can't do that. He said, well, why can't you do this? Because I'm a diabetic, and I might just die right here on the highway. He said, well, Boudreaux, you're going to have to walk this straight line. He said, I can't do that. He said, why can't you do this? He said, because I'm drunk. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny, right? But isn't our spiritual life like that? We have every excuse. You guys are masters of excuses. I am a master of excuses of why I can't do something. Why I can't pray. Why I can't go with this. Why I can't get up early in the morning. Why I can't. We're mastering it. So what I want to do this morning, just kind of dispel some of those excuses. Just want to kind of get them out of there. I just want to show you how simple it can be. How simple it can be in our own spiritual lives to start to pray. All right, it's only going to take me a few minutes. All right, in the Bible it says Jesus was praying in a certain place, and we're going to touch on that next week. All right, one day he's praying in a certain place, and when he finished in that certain place, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so, what are the disciples asking there? Are they? They're not saying teach us to pray, because these disciples, they've learned how to pray. They know how to pray. Every one of them grew up with prayers, reciting them, learning them, memorizing them. Every one of them knew how to pray. What they're asking is, Lord, teach us how to pray like that. Whatever you got going on over there, that looks amazing. I want that. Because we've been praying all our lives, you know, as Jewish people, we've been praying, and we don't know how to pray like that. And so they ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, whatever you're doing over there, you sound like you were connecting with God. You sound like you really had it going. You know, this was awesome. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus responds with what we call today the Lord's Prayer. He teaches them how to pray. And we have taken all of the passion out of this thing till it just becomes something that we recite. And you ready for this morning? Jesus never intended us just to recite it. In fact, he doesn't say, you know, pray this prayer. He says, in this manner, pray this. Because Jesus has another verse in the Gospels where he says, you know, the pagans are known for their many sayings and their continual uttering of phrases. They just say the same things over and over and over and over. He never expected you just to say this over and over and over. In other words, here are the headings. Here are the things that I was covering over there. You want to know what I was doing over there? I was saying, our Father in heaven. So I was kind of doing that, hallowed be thy name, kind of doing this for a while, praising him. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. And I was kind of touching on that, on earth as it is in heaven. And he's saying, then I got to us, give us today our daily bread and praying for us and forgive our debts and we forgive our debtors. And I was just kind of praying about that. And then I went into, don't lead us into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And he kind of outlined these headings for them. He said, okay, when I go pray, and Jesus prayed a lot. You can see it in the Gospels. He prayed a lot. He said, when I get over this, this is what I'm doing. And this is one of the greatest revelations that I've ever received about prayer. And it's honestly, it's one of the most beautiful things that I can pass on to you. That I had taught to me about prayer. About these topics. So here's the challenge. And this is what I want you to do. And it's fine if you pray this, all right? But just know that that's not what it was intended for. All right? It's fine if you say it. But Jesus had a bigger purpose for this. For teaching us how to pray. And so here's what I want you to do. You can take these seven things, and we're going to go through seven topics really quickly from this prayer. You can take these into your place of prayer, whether it's tonight at 6 or early in the morning at 6 or wherever you're going to pray during these 21 days. Just take these and pray through these. It'll take you about 10 or 15 minutes. And I promise you'll come away from that saying that was one of the most meaningful times of prayer that I've ever had. You follow Jesus's themes. You follow his prayer. And you will come away saying, okay, that meant something. That was a prayer that meant something for my day. And so I just want to teach it to you and check it out. Number one this morning is our Father in heaven. Just starting through the beginning of the prayer. Our Father in heaven. It's that phrase. And he's saying, look, guys, this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing. You're going to God in the wrong way to begin with. And the first point under this then is we need to connect with God relationally. He says, connect with God relationally. Don't come to God connecting formally, all right? Don't come before him, right? Oh God, oh great. Because if you do that, or if you're the King James Version, oh Goddeth, we praiseth, we cometh before thee with the... If you do that, though, you lose out on this important part, this first part of the prayer. He says, no, call him Father. He likes it. He's saying, come before him, call him Father. Do you understand? Your God is a heavenly Father. Your God cares about you as a Father. And so when you come in before him, Jesus is telling his disciples even more that this is his favorite name. Whenever you pray, go before him as Father. Go before him as your dad, because he didn't want it to be this distant God from us. And we say that sometimes at the end of service where you say, do you feel like God is a million miles away? He does not want to be. He wants to be so close to us as a Father. He wants to connect relationally. So that's how I start my prayers. Just Father. Just beginning in the morning. If you want to, just Father, I'm so glad I get to spend this day with you. I'm so happy that I get to be with you. What would it look like if my kids, Elijah, my five-year-old, if they came to me like, oh, great one, we thank thee for the toys which you have given us, which we have broken 1,000 times over. I would probably check the sugar content in his breakfast cereal, right? My kids, they'd like to get in my lap. They like to get as close as possible. Parents, you know, this is the most amazing time for them. They're getting bigger, but I'm still going to pull them in my lap, right? They just want to get close to you. Daddy, daddy, daddy. How much more does our spiritual father want us to come to him? We say, our Father in heaven. Our Father who cares for us, who's close. We want to just crawl up in his lap, just get close with him. And so you start your prayer that way. I'm telling you, you go no further in prayer until you connect relationally. Romans 8 says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. If you have this view of God, if you're serving him as a fearful slave, you have the wrong view of God. And your view of God will determine your relationship with God. So you have to have the right view of him, and not as fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. We call him Daddy. We get close to him. And you can imagine that with your own kids, when they get close to you, when they just, if you ever had your kids just come and just want to be next to you, they don't want anything. They just want to be there. They're not asking for anything. What do you think when that happens, right? You are my favorite child. Not the other ones. I don't want, when that, you are, you can have everything. We get close to our Father. That's what he's saying. It's our Father. So you go no further until you change your view. And he just wants to get close. And then number two this morning, hallowed be thy name. It's kind of a fancy word. What's he saying though? Well, let's say, and it's two parts to this, but we're just going to worship his name. That's all it means in that sentence. I just spend time now in my prayers. And again, I'm telling you, I'm starting to do this in my own prayers. I just spend time then just worshiping the name of God. And we say this in our prayer and in our worship time sometimes. We just worship your holy name. It's not just a phrase, guys. What are those names of God? And then worship them. Because God has names. There's over 85 names of God in the Bible. And then I was given a book a couple of months ago just on the names of God and their meaning. And the way that the Bible brings those out, what they mean, the names of God. And so these are just 8 that I pulled. And you can find your own. You can supplement whatever. But these are just 8 that I pulled that I've started to pray over every day. That I've started to use them. So we just find what are the names of God. And then we worship them. We worship them. Because the names have power. The names of God have power. I was thinking how to illustrate this. Sometimes I'll tell one of my sons to go tell the other one to do something. And so if Liam, my 3-year-old, goes in there and he says, Elijah, pick up in here. Nobody is listening to that kid. Right? Nobody's listening. But if he goes in there and says, Elijah, daddy said you need to pick up in here. Oh, okay. I'm going to, because he carries the name. They carry the name of their father. So the name has power. So you just start your prayer time and you just say, thank you, God, that you are the God of righteousness. You are the God of my righteousness. You are the God who sanctifies me by the blood of Jesus. You're the one who went to the cross and wipes me clean so that I have access to the throne room of God. I thank you, Lord, for that this morning. I thank you that you are my healer. That cancer and diabetes and blood disorder has no claim on my body because you are my healer. I thank you, God, that you are the shepherd. John 10, that it says, I'll know the voice of my shepherd and to another I won't turn away. It says, I know the voice. I thank you, God, that you are my shepherd. I think you are my provider, that everything I have comes from you. That everything that makes who I am comes from you, that I seek you first. I think you're my provider, you're my sanctifier. God, that you are the banner of victory lifted over my life, over my family's life. I thank you, God, for who you are. I think you are the God of peace in the chaos of this world. That you are the God who brings peace into my situations. You begin just to pray the names of God. And then this one, you get for this one, there's a name of God. It's just the God who is there. Just the God who is there. Where is he? He's there. The God, it's just amazing. The God who is, you say, well, wherever you are, there he is. Psalms 139, it says, if I make my bed in the highest heaven or if I make it in the deepest parts of the earth, you are there. Thank you, God, that you are the God who is there. You're there, Lord. And then Jesus said, I move on. After I've done those first 2 parts, I move on to the 3rd part. And it's just that your kingdom come, your will be done. And you'll notice 2 words that are the same there, right? Notice 1 word that's twice, your and your. In other words, before you ever get to your, you have to focus on your. You start to pray. In this way, I wanted to put it in, God has an agenda. Pray it. God has a prayer list. We need to pray it. We pray his agenda first. So when you get to this part of the prayer, you're not on yourself yet. You're not trying all these. You're thanking him for who he is. You're calling him Father. And then you get to this part. You pray his agenda. You pray it first. And you say, well, what is it? What is God's prayer list? It's summed up in 1 word. Others. 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 God so loved the world. So when you pray for the world, when you pray for Palestinians and the Jewish people, or you pray for Israel, you pray for people at your job who are unsaved, you pray for the kids in Albania that we support, or the churches in Cuba, or you start to pray all these things, Lord, just bless them. Give those churches revival. Help those families, God. Help those people, Lord. Let them begin to know you. Let them see your face. God, we pray for that. God looks at you as a father and he says, you have all these problems, but you're praying for those people first. I love that. God is saying, I love that about my people, that they would learn to pray for others first, because that's God's heart. God's heart is for others. We're going to pray his agenda. Matthew 6, it says that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all that other stuff gets added. And then in Luke, it says it this way. I love this phrasing for it. He will always give you all you need from day to day if you will make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We pray his agenda first. I'm going to focus on your agenda, God. And that goes all the way up. And so I've started doing, but I start to pray. I pray this morning for the president. I pray for the Supreme Court. I pray for the Congress. I pray for Governor Edwards. I pray all the way through. And listen to this part. You got to get this. That prayer does not change depending on which administration has the reins. Because some people will amen that prayer in some years and they won't amen it in the other years. And that is ridiculous. We are the church of God. We pray that his will is done. Because I don't care who's in power. I don't care. I'm going to pray for them all that God's will is done. That is his agenda. Lord, let your will be done. And then I get to you guys, the people of Victory. And I just start to pray, Lord, just strengthen their families and their marriages. God, give them relationships with their kids. God, just if there's sickness in their body, just put a hedge of protection, put healing on them. I just begin to pray for you guys, just to lift you up. Others, others, others. And then you can get to this next part. Are you getting anything this morning? Everybody getting? All right. And then number four, this fourth part, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. So now it's on you. All right. So then this is about us. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Well, you say, well, I don't need anything right now. I know it's a rare person, but you might say, or I don't need him in this. Or here's my admonition to you. Pray it anyways. And this is something I had to grapple with, where you say, well, I don't need, because we only go to God sometimes when we think we need him. But no, you remember, what is our rally cry? We're going to pray first. It's going to be our first response. We're going to pray over everything. We're going to pray continually. We're going to bring God into every situation. And so listen to this. Pray for what you need, even if you think you don't need it. And I'll explain this a little bit more if it gets. But pray for what you need, even if you think you don't need it. You don't need that. You say, well, I've got this. I've got that. No, no, pray for God to be in it anyways. You say, well, I can handle this. No, no, pray for God. Because this communicates to God that you believe that he is in everything that you do. That everything that you have comes from him. That everything that you're going to do relies on him. Everything that you build is built on him. That when you pray through everything, even the needs that you think are met, they're only met because God is meeting them. And so if you begin to pray over everything, even when you don't think that you're going to need it, you begin to pray, it communicates to God, God, I am putting all my trust in you. I know that I can't do it on my own. Even though it looks like I'm trying to do it, even though I think maybe I could, I know that I rely on you. Everything I have comes from you. You begin to communicate to God that we need him in everything all the time. That's why before everything that we do, we pray first. We pray first. We pray first. God likes it when you depend on him for everything for that day. Look at Psalms. This is beautiful. It says, and this is a verse I pray with my kids every night. It says, we look up to the mountains. We say, I look up to the hills. But where does my help come from? And some of you are thinking, well, you think, well, the hills are heaven. Or say, no, no, back in Israel in those days, what he's talking about is the government seat was on a hill. It was on the high up. And so he's basically saying, I look up to Capitol Hill, but is that where my help comes from? No. I look up to the hills, well, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes up to Capitol Hill, but there's no help coming. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let me be defeated. The Lord who guards me never sleeps. He'll guard my life from all danger. That's a beautiful verse. You want to pray that every morning. I look up my eyes to the world around me, but that's not where my help comes from. My help comes from God. We begin to rely on him for everything. And then you can move on to this next part, this fifth part of the prayer. Jesus says, don't forget this part. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So I need you to forgive me, and then I need to forgive others. That's what my prayer is before God. So you say, well, what does that mean? What does that? It means that every morning I'm going to pray, Lord, if there's any part of me, use the Holy Spirit to point out what part of me is not pleasing to you. If I've gotten by, or Lord, don't let me become desensitized to sin in my life. If there's some part of me, just even if it's something I don't see. And every so often in prayer like that, I say every so often, fairly often in prayer like that, the Holy Spirit will just kind of point. And like, okay, I got it. Just point out things in your life. And you just begin to pray that. Whatever spot I need, I repent of what I've done, Lord, and then show me where I need to change. Show me what I need to do. And he'll point it out to you. And then not only for me, not only between myself and God, but also between myself and others, right? Because I go through people that have offended me, people that have said things to me. And this is just during your prayer time. Lord, I just forgive that person. People I don't even know who have said things about me. And I just forgive them. Lord, I'm not going to hold on to that bitterness. I'm not going to hold on to that baggage. God, I just release it to you. I take it off my chest. I just put it in your court. God, you're the one who takes care of it. You're the one who avenges. You're the one who does what needs to be done. I'm just getting it out of my life. That I forgive those people for what they've done to me. I forgive those. And this part, get this, I even forgive people in advance. Like, I know, Lord, that there are people who are going to hurt me today because I'm going down airline highway, right? I'm driving down. There are people who are going to get at me today. I know that they're going to, I forgive them in advance, oh Lord. I just forgive them for whatever they're going to say to me, whatever they're going to, they're going to cut me off. I just forgive them in the name of Jesus. Just ahead of time, we forgive in advance. I promise you, if you do that, people will notice a change about you. People will notice a difference in your life. Well, hey, you just look so, yeah, I'm looking good because I forgave you before I even saw you this morning. Amen. Like, the Lord, I'm feeling good. You start to forgive. Forgive, forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those around us. We confess, and the Bible says it this way, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. If we confess every day, get your heart right with people, get your heart right with God, and so we can have a pure heart. You do this every day, confess your sins, ask for repentance, and then forgive those around you. Then number 6, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. And that's actually not a great translation because God doesn't lead people into temptation. There's a verse that says this, God does not lead people into temptation. So that can't be the right reading. The Greek actually says, do not allow us to be led into temptation. In other words, I'm going to be tempted today, God. Help me to make the right choices. So temptation is on the agenda of the enemy. Today, temptation is on his agenda for your life. So help me, God, to make the right choices, to make good decisions. And it says, deliver us from the evil one because he's coming. And here's how I like to say it. And you might not even like the way that I'm about to say this. You might not like it, but the fact that it exists doesn't change. And that is, there is an enemy who hates your stinking guts. And he is working to destroy you. And for many of us, he is working harder to destroy you than you are working to prevent it. In other words, if you're not fighting the devil every day, he's working harder than you. I'll say it again. If you're not fighting the devil every day, he's working harder than you to destroy you and your family and your kids. And you say, well, that just sounds like kind of out there, kind of whatever, you know, demonic forces, just kind of like a sci-fi movie or, you know, woo. No, it's a real thing. We'll read the verse together. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So our job as Christians, and this is a huge part of your prayer, is when you go into spiritual warfare, when you start to war for your families, you start to war for your life, because there is an enemy who has an agenda for your life. And like I said, he is often working harder than a lot of us are working to prevent it. And so you start to war over your family. You start to pray over your marriage. You start to pray over your kids. And this is something I pray for you as a church, but it's something you have to have in your individual lives. But I just pray, God, you just break off the chains on their spiritual lives. God, that you break off this chain of addiction. You break off the spirit of bondage, God, that you break off the darkness for my kids, Lord. That there would be no breaching of the walls. There would be no going into captivity, that you would set them free. That you would keep them from the evil one. You go into warfare. And this is, if I can give you anything this morning, such an important part of your prayer time. We did that message on the watchman on the wall last year. You become the watchman on your family's wall. Amen. That nothing gets through. You're going to war in the spirit. You're going to pray. And it's not some complicated thing. It's not some super complicated where you have to know the formulas. You have to know. No, you just, every day you stand up and you take your stand. You just take your stand. You plead the blood of Jesus on your home. You tell the enemy who is the actual leader of your home. You tell him he has no place in your kid's life. He has no place in your marriage. His agenda is not going through today. You start each day with that prayer. That's what this part is. Deliver us from the enemy. Nehemiah 4 says to fight for your families. So fight. Fight for your families. Work this into everything that you do. Get in the presence of God and then just confront your enemy every day. And then he ends where he began. The 7th one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. None of this happened because I did what I was supposed to do today. This is what you're telling to God. None of this happened because I got up this earlier. None of this happened because I'm this or that or that. I just remember that it's all about you, God. That everything I have is yours. Everything I do, I depend on your power, on your glory. It's all for you. And I love that. End it this way. You need to end every prayer. Every prayer time, just doing it, just lifting his name. Just saying, it's all about you. I depend on you for everything. Everything is about you. And I've got a couple of verses. If you want to take them, fine. If you want to find verses to end your own prayer time, these are the ones that I've started to use. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, ah, sovereign Lord, it's you who has created the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for you. I love that verse because it's saying nothing. Everything that I said up until this point, all the things that I've confessed is too difficult for you. All the things that I've asked for, all the things that I've prayed for, nothing is too difficult for you. And I like it this way. Nothing you say is going to make God nervous. Nothing's like, God, like, here's you confess something and think, oh, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nothing you say makes God nervous. Nothing you say where he thinks, well, I'm thrown out of my element here. I just don't know. Ben said that and I just don't know. Nothing is too difficult for him. And that just gives me the assurance, even if I don't feel like everything is, I know my God has it. I know that nothing is too difficult for him. And then in Revelation 5, here's the second one. If you want to end your prayer time, to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb being blessing and glory and honor and power forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Come on, bow your heads with me this morning. Bow your heads with me. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, as we go into this time of prayer, these 21 days. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that your name means freedom in our lives. So Lord, I'm praying for prayer. I'm praying for a revival of prayer in our spiritual lives, God, in our church, in our own personal selves, God. God, we can't do what we've asked. We can't do what you've asked us to do without the covering of prayer on our lives. We can't do as a church what you've asked us to do without the covering of prayer on our church body. God, we can't live our lives individually without the covering of prayer. So as we take this next season together, Lord, I pray for every person. God, every person, this kind of freaks them out. It's just a little too hard. God, let them see how simple it is. God, as they walk through these elements of the Lord's Prayer, as they begin to pray these topics in their own lives, in their own prayer times, let them know just how simple but powerful it is. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, and every head bowed, every eye closed still this morning, I can't help but think back on that first phrase. That first phrase, our Father who's in heaven, just connecting with God relationally. Just connecting with God relationally. Getting close to him. Because salvation is not just going to a church. Salvation is not putting your name on a piece of paper. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is where God came close to us. And if you feel that way, a lot of us have felt that, where God just felt a million miles away. If you feel that, you feel like, I want to be close to him. I want to pray relationally. I want to get close to God. One of my favorite verses about salvation just says that Jesus came close to remove that barrier between you and God. That Jesus came to remove that barrier on the cross. That you can get close to God again. And so every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you want to pray that, if you say, okay, I want that, I'm in. I want to get close to God again. You say, I want to be saved. Or you say, I want to come back to God. I want to get close to him again. I don't want him far. I want to go into these 21 days of prayer close to him, saying, Father. Knowing him as a father. If you want to be close, I just want to give you a simple prayer this morning that you can pray. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not asking you to come to the front. I'm just going to give you the words to this simple prayer. And you can whisper it right where you are. If you say, I want to be close to him today, I want to get saved, I want to be near, I want God to welcome me back, I want to. You're just one prayer away from being close to God again. I'm going to help you with the words. Just whisper these where you are. Just say, Jesus, thank you for destroying the barrier between me and God. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Today I receive that and I make you my Lord. Come live inside of me. Come change the inside of me. Have your way. Say these words. I give you my life. I give you my life. Everything. Thank you for setting me free. And if you just prayed that prayer, every head is still bowed. If you just prayed that prayer this morning, I just want to pray again over you. Just a short prayer. But if you made that decision, you made it for the first time, or you came back to God, if you prayed that prayer, no one's looking around, but I just want to pray over you. So if you say, hey, I want to be included in that. I want to just pray over you. Say, hey, I want to be included in that right now. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If that's you, I just want to pray over you at the end. If you made that prayer, if you said it, you meant it in your heart, just lift up your hand. I just want to pray over you. Nobody else is looking at you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. In the back. Thank you. So come on, guys. Let's just pray. You can put your hands down. Father, I thank you for every person who just made the most important decision of their life. God, I bless them. God, let this be the first day of the rest of their life. God, as you begin to do a great work in them, as you begin to do a great work in them. And so in Jesus' name, I plead the blood over their lives. God, that they've made this decision in you. And I thank you. I thank you for the great work you're going to do in them. That you've come close again. That we can go into these 21 days of prayer knowing you are our Father and you are close to us. So we praise you and worship you. We thank you for the name. That the name has power. So I plead the blood of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for who you are. And as a church body, we just lift up our praise to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, church. Let's celebrate those 8 who just made the best decision of their lives. Come on, stand with me this morning. Let's just continue to celebrate. We're just going to go back just quickly into worship. Come on, church. Let's just worship together.
Death could not hold you. Filter before you. Silence the most of sin.
Man, it's so good to be in these 21 days of prayer. Don't forget, we'll have service tonight. And also in the foyer right now, we'll have some baptisms. We'd love for you to join us. We'll see you guys.